You will have noticed on the announcements that next Saturday, and we are reminded of it in prayer this evening, there will be a conference for a good part of the day, 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock, dealing with the topic, how do social media and the internet impact on our children? The subject is a very important one, crucial for young people in particular today. Now, some of us must admit that social media is actually a world about which we know not a great deal. We don't Twitter, we haven't written a blog, and we don't appear on Facebook, but many people do. And of course, this conference, I imagine, will be telling those who do use the social media that there are things they must not do. Do not give out your name or address. Do not engage with someone whom you don't know. Do not tell anyone what school you attend. Do not pass on too much information about yourself. And that's not being restrictive or spoiling anyone's use of this media. That is being extremely wise and kind and loving. It is often kind and loving and wise to tell people, do not. And I thought it would be good to look at some of the places in the Bible where that is how we are addressed lovingly and wisely and graciously. And so this evening, to look at the first of these, which are the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 6, at the very end of the chapter. Do you find yourself coming back to this verse time and again, as I do? Do you find yourself longing to learn it and have it impressed on your heart? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus speaks a great deal in this passage about worry. That command, do not worry, occurs 3 times, but reference to worry comes more than that. Do not worry about necessities. Do not worry about life itself. Do not worry about tomorrow. Let's then look at this kind word. Do not worry about tomorrow. First of all, our Lord tells us that we must reject every anxious thought. Jesus makes it abundantly clear that anxious thoughts have to be given no house room in the Christian's life. 3 times the same command is given. Do not worry. Our Lord expresses clearly that anxiety is something useless. It doesn't add anything to life. It doesn't extend life. It doesn't make you a better person. And none of us would disagree with that. We know that worry never changes anything. Undoubtedly, all it does is waste time and use up energy. It's false and it's deceptive. Someone has rightly said that fears can be liars, and they often are. The things that we worry about seldom happen. When Isaiah prophesied about the ministry of Jesus, he said he would be the wonderful counselor. And these are words of wonderful counsel. Do not worry about tomorrow. And they are given to us by the one who knows our hearts better than anyone else. He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. And in great kindness and wisdom and love, he has given us this command. He knows we need this counsel because we so easily become anxious. It doesn't matter tonight what age you are. You know that there is in your heart the inclination to worry. Some, of course, because of their temperament, are more inclined to anxiety than others. We must grant that. There are the people for whom the glass is always half empty. And there are the people for whom the glass is always half full. And there's a difference in temperament. That is undoubtedly so. But temperament does not mean that we can set the Lord's counsel here to one side. The person who says, "I never worry," he cannot set this command to one side. Because when he says, "I never worry," his reasons may not be biblical. And again, the person who says, "I'm always worrying," he can't set this counsel to one side either. He can't retreat into a kind of little excuse for himself by saying, "Well, you know, I'm just a worrier. My grandmother was a worrier. All our family have been worriers. We've black hair and we've green eyes and we worry. And that's just the way our family is. I can't nothing I can do about it." No. When you read this word, you must say, that cannot be used as an excuse. Our Lord makes no limitations. This kind, gracious word is addressed to all the children of God. No matter what your temperament is, or your family is, or your circumstances are, or what age you are, do not worry about tomorrow. We do, of course, need to understand what our Lord is not forbidding here. He is not forbidding us to think ahead or to make plans. That's quite proper. For example, in the parable of the talents, Jesus commended the men who thought ahead, who used wisely what they'd been given. And the Bible uses the picture of the ant to commend wise planning. There's nothing unbiblical about having a savings account or an insurance policy. That does not mean you're worrying about tomorrow. As one writer puts it, "I may take reasonable thought and care and make reasonable provision, and then I think no more about it." Because worry is really looking ahead in the wrong way. It's borrowing tomorrow's troubles as if today's weren't enough. And worry, of course, as we all know, has an amazing capacity to imagine, to dream up all kinds of possible situations which might arise. Worry can cover every angle. It can suggest a whole range of troubles, difficulties which might just come tomorrow. It's really good at keeping on saying, but what if? But what if? That's how it operates. And of course it's impossible to give a cast iron answer to that. What if, worry says. And you can't answer it because you don't know about tomorrow. When we worry, we're saying, what if? And we can't get rid of our worry by telling ourselves, well, I'm sure that would never happen. We don't know. People say about their children, you know, doesn't matter what age they are, you never stop worrying about them. All sorts of things we worry about. And when we worry, of course, that's the very thing that becomes the focus of our attention, uses up all our energy, and drives us from what we should be doing today. Worry is directed to tomorrow, but it's practiced today. Our Lord says, do not worry about tomorrow. We must reject every anxious thought. Secondly, we must accept each day as it comes. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Worrying about tomorrow has within it a kind of suggestion that we would like to know what tomorrow will bring before it dawns. And we can sometimes tell ourselves that if we did, then we would stop worrying. If it had kind of an outline, we'd be able to cope much better. No, we wouldn't. And of course, we are not told what tomorrow holds. It's in the Lord's secret and good counsel. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow, James writes. There are things you will have to face tomorrow, but time enough when tomorrow comes. They are tomorrow's troubles. Do not try to anticipate them. Don't try to assume what they will be. You don't know. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day and all it holds is given to us by the Lord. We must never try to go ahead of him. You notice Jesus speaks here of each day's troubles. But the Christian isn't promised a trouble-free existence. But we are promised help that we need for each day. God does not give strength today for tomorrow's troubles, but he does give strength and grace for today's troubles. As your days, so will your strength be. Accept each day as it comes. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And there's grace sufficient for that day, and whatever those troubles may be which come on that day. And God always goes before us into each new day. Now, if you've been attending the midweek Bible studies, you will have been excited, I'm sure, as most of us are, about our study in the book of Numbers. It isn't, as someone has said, it isn't really a book you'd very normally, very often turn to, but we have found it wonderfully encouraging and a great blessing. And last week in the Bible studies, I imagine the rest were like the one I was at, and we learned about the cloud going ahead of the people. God was leading his people through the wilderness and then showed them where they were to stop, where they were to set up camp. And what a great picture and a promise there is there, that he has gone before them and has prepared where they are to be and has established the place where they are to be. And we have that assurance. As you enter every new day, what is it that you know? What is it you know for certain as you begin each new day? His compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And as you enter each day, whatever troubles it may have, you can be certain of that. Martin Lloyd-Jones has said that every day must be lived in itself as a unit. The God who keeps us today will be the same God tomorrow. And he will help us tomorrow. And we must learn to trust him day by day for that day's circumstances and troubles. Never try to go ahead of him. One of the great problems with worrying is that by worrying about tomorrow, we actually hinder ourselves doing what we're meant to be doing today. We distract ourselves from doing what God has for us to do today. Jesus speaks of what the priority must be every day. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be given to you as well. Live each day for him and his kingdom and under his kingly rule and walking according to his kingly direction. Anxiety distracts us from that. It drives up our stress levels. It probably causes ulcers. It certainly makes our conversation extremely boring. And it hinders us from living today as the Lord wants us. I must never allow anxious thoughts to lodge in my mind. That will inhibit my usefulness in the present. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Today is given, whatever it holds, and out of gratitude to God, we are to live today as he wants us to do. Jesus tells us here, we must reject every anxious thought. Do not worry about tomorrow. We must accept each day as it comes. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And he is setting all of that in this great passage, where thirdly we learn that we must trust God as our Heavenly Father. You see, Jesus is explaining here why we are not to be anxious about tomorrow. And the reason is powerful and unassailable. It's very, very simple. Your Heavenly Father knows. The trouble with us is that we do not sufficiently realize that we are the children of our Heavenly Father. Someone has said if we realized that, we would never worry again. And Sinclair Ferguson has put it like this: it is only when we want to take our lives out of the Father's hands and have them under our control that we find ourselves gripped with anxiety. Our Father is in heaven, ruling everywhere and over everything. Not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from his purpose. And our Father knows all about today and all about tomorrow. And where we are today and where we will be tomorrow. And what we need today and what we will need tomorrow. And nothing ever takes him by surprise. Nothing is ever unknown to him. And no circumstance will come into your life which is not already known to him. Jesus calls us to exercise trust in our Heavenly Father. And the illustration he gives, of course, is such a familiar one to us. He speaks of God's care for his children in this unforgettable way, pointing to the birds and the flowers. This is a good time of the year to think about this illustration. The birds are singing early in the morning, they're flying around at night. The flowers are all beginning to burst into blossom. It's a good time to be thinking about this illustration, the birds and the flowers. Jesus takes us from the lesser, birds and flowers, to the greater, you and me. Look at the flowers in creation. Pick one of them. Examine it closely. Look at the color and the shade and the intricate details. Solomon couldn't make one of those. The wisest man in the world, he couldn't make one. Computer-generated images are a mere shadow of what these flowers are like. And yet, they only last a little while, and people hardly notice them, and they walk over them. And yet God is clothing the flowers, providing for them and the birds as their creator. He's their creator. But Jesus says, he is your heavenly Father. When barristers go into court, they always know the answer to the question they're going to ask before they ask it. No barrister ever goes into court and asks a question off the top of his head. He knows what the answer is going to be before he puts the question. And Greek's a bit like that. There's a way of asking questions in Greek, and there's one way which anticipates the answer, yes, and there's another way, and it anticipates the answer, no. And in this question, our Lord uses that way of asking the question which anticipates the answer. Are you not much more valuable than they? And the answer is anticipated. There's no question about it. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. They're birds and plants and flowers. And God is their creator. But we are his children. This is a great assurance. We've been singing about it. I have been young, I'm old now. I have never seen the righteous man begging, nor his seed begging bread. Through the work of Jesus, those who believe are adopted as children. Their life is in the hands and under the care of their Heavenly Father. And he has plans for you right to the end. All your days ordained, we've been singing. I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. He knows the end from the beginning and plans every step of the way and fulfills his purpose for you and through you. Some of you, I know, are very, very concerned about guidance, and you're waiting on the Lord's leading about work and courses and what to do. Your Heavenly Father knows. He knows. And He knows because He has a purpose. And He has a plan for you. Do not worry about tomorrow. Trust Him and live by faith. And do not speculate about tomorrow. This is a wise and right way to live, isn't it? And what a testimony in a world like ours, which is absolutely devastated with anxiety. Devastated with anxious thoughts. But how honouring to God that His children can enter each new day saying, "My Heavenly Father knows." This great assurance, of course, we must add, belongs only to the children of God, to those who know Him as their Heavenly Father. Anyone who is not a child of God through faith in Christ and by adoption cannot really take comfort from these words, because outside of Christ there is no security and no peace and no help in trouble, no answer to anxiety. Prozac won't do it, meditation won't do it, herbal tea won't do it, but in Christ, how different. Freedom from anxiety for all who are the adopted children of God. And His kind and loving and necessary word to you and me this evening is this: do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen.